The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Let me introduce you to our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill.
Hi.
Hi. You didn't just put a Hershey's Kiss in your mouth or anything?
No.
That's usually what I do.
I know.
I was
trying to be very careful. Actually, I did that the other day with one of my students. She's a really good student, and she had just swallowed something, and I called on her, and oh no, I apologized. So she thought it was funny, but
okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it was okay.
What class is this?
That was Study of Fiction.
Okay. And what are we doing in Study of Fiction now? What are we reading?
We are going through, let's see, what's the latest short story we read? It's a Tilly Olson story called I Stand Here Ironing. And last semester, because Dr. Bell, Professor Bell, has written on it, she came to class.
That's right.
And she was going to this time, but she had another meeting. So
some other time.
So many meetings. Too little time.
She's very busy right now with all of her professional work, but it's a classic story.
That's very cool.
Yeah,
very
it went pretty well, even without Professor Bell being there.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Nice.
Would have gone better if she had been there. But
oh, no, I feel so guilty.
No, I'll be teaching it again. There'll be other times. No, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty
at all.
There'll
be other chances.
I would have liked coming to your class more than the meeting I was in, off the record.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Professor Stephen Manning is here from the Department of Being Retired.
Afternoon.
Mm-hmm. So you have a ball cap on with a little holly sprig on it.
It's still Christmas.
Yeah, it truly is. Yeah. Until,
all the decorations.
As the hardcore Catholics say, until presentation, which is 2nd of February, it's technically Christmas. So
Actually, it's a funny story. We were at the mall to do something else. Oh, I was getting a new computer, so we had to go to Somerset.
Oh, okay. That was a whole.
And I intended to put a hat on before we left the house. Maybe I had bedhead or something, and it was cold. And so we get in the car, we're down the street, and I said, oh, I forgot the hat. So should I go back?
No,
we didn't go back. So we go, and we had a little bit of time before our appointment. So we went into J. Crew, and I saw the hat, and the hat was like $30.
Sure.
But it was on sale for like $15, and then it was 60% off the marked price.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was kind of unclear, so I went over and to the checkout thing, and I said, is this not a 60% thing. Is 60% off this $15? Now down from $30? And she said, yes. I said, I'll take it.
Sold.
Wow.
I think I actually paid cash for it too.
Oh,
and I can't remember, you know, rather than put it on a card, right? I can't remember.
Incredible.
Paying for anything.
Well, you didn't pay with crypto?
Oh.
Well, you know me. I'm doing the, Braveheart William Wallace thing with the Halloween stuff at CVS. Like, I just keep coming in week after week. Yeah. I'm like, hold. Yeah. And it's like 99% off.
Sold. So the hats, this is an $8.25 hat.
That's awesome.
It's cool, though.
I kind of like
it,
too.
Perfect.
It fits.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
The good news is that if we lived in New Orleans, Christmas lasts all the way from 12th night all the way up to Mardi Gras. The bad news is we're going to have to plow 8 inches of snow in a city that's never seen it before.
I know, yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Professor Dan Maggio is here from the First Organization. And how do you spend 2 or 3 days in a row where the base temperature is like negative 15? I mean, how does that work for you?
I think normal.
Okay.
Just a little more careful when you go outside.
Exactly. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Although I did wake up in the morning and the house was freezing.
Mm.
Like, so an extra notch or two up on the thermostat.
Of course, yes.
But I had off on Monday, so spent some time in Ann Arbor visiting friends.
Okay, nice.
So it was sunny too.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was. The sky was wide open. That was not holding the heat in. That's part of the problem, you know? So, Professor Aaron Bell is here, director of Detroit Mercy's writing program, expert in many different things, including matching blues here. That's kind of nice.
I know. I commented on how lovely she looked earlier.
She's got that medical deck look about her.
I do. This is a very Star Trek blue.
It is.
Science officer, medical team.
Mm-hmm. Professor Dave Chow is here from the Department of Eaton Street.
Sure.
There you go.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
So what is the hubbub in the neighborhood?
Nothing. Other than the coyote, that was at the end of our block.
That's what I heard. Well, and the big car chase closer to where my parents are. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. There's
the car chase?
Yeah.
No, did that have anything to do with the chickens?
No. That's last week.
No, there's this concrete, I think is what it's made out of, horse that's been in the front yard or side yard of this house since time immemorial. Everybody drives by. Sometimes they put a hat on it. You know, goofy stuff like that. This guy tears down Sunny Knoll, right, next to the high school, and just mows his car right into this house and knocked the horse over. No. And, I mean, we got the dash cam video on Facebook and everything. A block from my parents. So, what a mess. What a mess.
See, actually, I've been waking up every morning. I've been checking my yard. I've been looking for coyote footprints.
Oh my gosh.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know how many rabbits I have in my yard.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So
I'm They'd be very happy.
I got a smorgasbord.
Yeah. No, seriously.
Maybe you should buy a Roadrunner.
Or I could paint a black hole on the side of the garage, watch them run
into it. That's speaking to your wheelhouse. That's
how about a 1-ton weight to drop on it?
From Acme.
Did you guys have USPS delivery this week?
Yes.
We have.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Well, not Monday.
Not Monday.
Yeah, not Monday. Monday. Right.
Yeah.
We did not. In the city, we did not have mail delivery Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Why? Oh my gosh!
No. Thursday we got mail from Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday.
What was the reason for no Tuesday, Wednesday?
Too cold.
I'm assuming it was the weather, but it was no colder in Detroit than it was in Burton.
Were we that much warmer north of 696?
I mean, drove through a few squalls that made me wonder if I was driving through other countries. I can tell you that right now. Well, but other than that,
gives you an opportunity to pick on our mail carrier, Audrey.
Poor
I like our mail carrier. So
yeah, she's very, very nice.
So much for your holiday tip.
My God.
We all.
I'm going to remind her next year. So, now, can you promise me that? And what's the USPS slogan?
Well, you remember that.
Reminded of the scene in Seinfeld.
Well, I don't go out. Newman says, I don't go out when it rains.
And he looks around and he says, it's raining out.
That was so great. They knew that it wasn't him because all the mail got through.
That's right.
Well, folks, this is a program you can send us questions regarding anything. Been a while since we've had some questions about mail or the USPS. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okay. Matt and Ask the Professor's Professors. That's what it says. These are from Anonymous.
Who said that?
Here is a 10-question question set of odd and funky words and phrases.
Oh, that sounds great.
Some of which have entered popular culture, others not so much. So thank you, Anonymous, for sending these in. We'll see what we can do. There's definitely a few that have been in the popular zeitgeist for the last few months, if not years, including this one. Have you ever heard of skip lagging? One word, skip lagging.
Oh, gosh. It's really weird and funky, isn't it? I was hoping for some, skibbity toilet again.
Oh, God, not that again.
That was my jam.
The Elmelmahay words. Or the
well, I will report to you all that Mara did come through with a millennial-based question set, and I looked at her, and I said, shall I wait until the professor is present so she can cackle maniacally in the background? And she said, oh, absolutely. So we'll have to wait to do those.
Does skip lagging have anything to do with exercise?
No.
Does it have anything to do with
sport?
Waiting in line?
You're getting closer with waiting in line. You're waiting in line to do something very, very specific.
Very specific.
Boarding a plane.
It's boarding a plane.
What?
So skip lagging is when you buy a holdover ticket, but you intend only to go to the place where you're transferring the plane, and you could do this to save money on a direct flight. Did you know you can do that?
Tell me more.
Yeah. So I want to go to Denver. So I buy a ticket from Detroit to Denver to San Diego, and there's a way to do that to save money, and then you just don't take the second ticket. And apparently it's against the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. FAA will shake her finger at you.
So the flight with a layover is cheaper? Yes. Wow, okay.
Yeah. There are some cases where that is true.
Like flying out of Flint Bishop I've also gotten deals for that too.
So. What are they going to do to you? I mean, they, you get off the plane and you're
I missed it.
Gone.
Oh, yeah.
I like the Denver airport so well.
It is.
I'm going to stay here for a while.
I mean, that's like, isn't that like freedom of choice?
It really is.
I mean,
or aren't wait, you? Is that a thing though? Professor Hill, freedom of choice. Never mind.
Yeah, I know. I knew I was there. That was coming. I walked into that one.
So it depends on your perspective here.
And or I'm not, did I?
I'm not defending or undefending. Akhtar Zaman founded a website to help travelers find these connections. So that's sort of becoming a nexus that the FAA and airlines can kind of go after. Otherwise, I find it quite enterprising.
Well,
to
I mean,
this out.
Well, the airlines are just so
they're a mess.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely.
In terms of consumers, sure. I mean, come
well,
on.
I mean, it's like the thing I don't get is like, why should the FAA punish you for something you goofed on? Technically, if you want to say that, you know, if you missed it accidentally, are they going to punish you for missing it?
Or you're doing? I mean, this is like punishing you for buying gas at a lower price here rather than here.
Exactly.
You're a consumer.
Yeah.
As consumers, we want to save money.
That's exactly.
And
ultimately,
if you really want to do something, prevent the airlines from selling more tickets than there
are
seats.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Ridiculous.
And then forcing people some way, and they can coerce them actually to not get on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like a flight where the door will pop off in the middle and you've got to sit in your seat? And, you know, I just, what are we dealing with here? Seriously. Speaking of American, not American Airlines, the company, but airlines in the United States of America, what are gate lice?
Oh, those are the people that rush the, you know, if you're sitting in section 7, you rush up when they call section 1.
You go out of order, and they are currently thinking about the very real possibility of emitting a loud, obnoxious signal and psychologically to kick you back to the back of the line.
I think I've heard about this.
Social shaming.
Oh, my word.
Love it. How about scarlet letter.
Spray paint.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Gate jumper. Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
I mean, it's one thing to get up and stand and wait a little bit, but it's another thing to rush the line.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What is Ladu? L-A-D-D-U. Ladu.
Ladu.
Mm-hmm.
Two U's, huh?
No, just one U.
Oh, okay.
L-A-D-D-U.
Oh, two D's. Okay.
Two D's, one U.
Is it an acronym?
It is not an acronym.
Is it a food?
You know, it is a food.
Oh,
that's
food.
Good.
Okay.
Very, very good.
Like,
is it an order at Starbucks? I know Starbucks is in here somewhere.
Latte plus.
Latte.
It's like the Starbucks hidden menu, as they call it, or something.
Is it a type of meat?
It is not meat, but it is a sweet, is what it says.
It's a sweet.
Is it
sweet meat? No.
Mm-hmm. It is not.
It's not a dessert?
I mean, there's not much more I think you need to know except for maybe what country it's from. It's a ball-shaped sweet that for centuries, a certain temple in what country has given to the devotees of that temple?
Nepal?
Mm-mm, but close.
Mongolia?
Nope.
Turkey?
India?
Nope. No? India.
Okay.
Yes, India.
So
the Tirupati temple in Andhra Pradesh, that's the state of the country of India.
How big are these balls?
It doesn't say anything about
softball,
the size.
Baseball, marble?
I'm starting to think about another SNL skit.
Yes.
Here.
I figured that would come up.
How large are the ladus? Yes. Ladu?
Maybe we should move on to
Shweddies, right?
It was when you never mind.
What is jaggery? J-A-G-G-E-R-Y. It's related, by the way, to India.
Oh, gosh. I was like thinking of like dancing like
Is it
Nick
a type
Jagger.
Of embroidery?
No, it's nothing to do with textiles.
Well, it sounds like it should
be. It's a type of behavior?
It is not. It is in the food realm again.
Hmm. Jaggery.
Everything comes back to food.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a rice dish?
No, it's not rice. It's not a utensil. It is something you consume.
You consume it.
You might have seen this, like you're watching a show and someone says that they'll have some jaggery. And so that's just about as close as
like
I can.
Chips?
It's related to India again. That's my clue.
Was it like after dinner?
Jaggery.
No.
A bread.
A cocktail.
Like popcorn?
No.
Is it a noshing thing?
Like a betel leaf or something?
No. I mean, you're pretty close, though, because I think that it has a lot to do with tea.
Okay.
So jaggery
How it
was
served?
Not straight cane sugar to sweeten something. It's apparently a toasted, sort of less super sweet flavor than sucrose.
Sounds pretty yummy, actually.
So it's something you put in your tea.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Good old jaggery.
Like natural stevia.
Sure. What is the reference price? What is the reference price?
The original manufacturer's suggested retail price.
No. Is this a Costco coding thing, 97, 98, 99 kind of thing?
Yeah, it doesn't say that. It's certainly economic in nature, but not what I've heard so far.
Is it something the consumer would see?
You know, it's based on consumer behavior.
Is this us missing a flight in Denver?
Oh, it's the price at which you might get X percent more people buying.
Basically, you've got it. It's the
tipping point?
Sort of mean for that's fair for this item is what the reference price is. So anything you're going to mark up from that, you're going to start with.
So what would the reference price be for, say, Steven's hat?
Oh, good question.
65% off?
$6?
Well, oh, if I went back to the store and was looking at another hat, it would be eight. It'd be what I paid for this.
Six.
That's the price I expect.
Or would it
to pay
be how much
for.
Cash you have in your wallet?
Because it's an expectation as a consumer of what the price is.
Oh
right?
My gosh.
Whether it's price of gas or loaf of bread.
So would you have purchased it for the original 15?
Well, originally it was 30.
Then the 15 discount?
It was half off, and then 60% off that. So,
pretty sweet.
No, yes.
So this term was popularized by the Nobel Prize winning economist Richard Thaler in his seminal 1985 paper, Mental Accounting and Consumer Choice. So we all have a vision for when I see an object, which, by the way, we've lived now X number of years in the state of Michigan without price tags on everything, right?
Yeah. Right.
So that was a big change for us consumer-wise.
Mm-hmm. And I think
I still
most,
look for the price tag every time.
Most recently, it's how when inflation is coming down, but people still think the economy stinks.
Right.
And that's because although inflation for something has gone from 6 down to 4, that is 3, what it used to be before the inflation went up. So they're less happy that the thing has come down by X percent than hasn't come down to the price they're used to paying for it.
There are multiple, whatever we're calling it now, Twitter X accounts that basically the person goes to the store every day and takes a picture of a dozen eggs and is waiting for the price to change. So I'm just, I believe they're doing it in jest, but still.
See, I remember when I met my cousins in China, they said we're so formal over here.
Mm.
Because, you know, everything's got a price tag over there. They haggle on everything.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yep.
So
can't help myself because of the reference, by the way. Everybody, I'm sure, noticed how TikTok shut down for about 20 hours over the weekend and blah, blah, blah.
I didn't notice. No, I'm just kidding.
Not at all.
Well, whatever the case, apparently there was because of the shutdown in America, there was a huge uptick of Chinese viewership and usership, bringing a lot of Chinese folks back to the app because for a while there they viewed it as being essentially purely American. Well, now like 99% of the content is American, right?
Yeah.
So all of these Chinese comedians got together by the time TikTok came back online and they put them in this room and they said, you have 1 hour to come up with the best anti-American joke that you can because we're going to turn it into a TikTok when it boots back up, right?
Man.
The joke was simply a man saying these words into a camera. Man, the way you all eat, healthcare should probably be free.
Oh,
I was
like, shit, like that's their impression of America after watching TikTok. So, I don't know. Chinese humor, I don't get it.
It's different.
Yes. What is thujone? Thujone.
Oh, it's in sage. It doesn't it get you like high or something?
You've got it. Yeah. It's a chemical neurotoxin. Yeah.
I learned this. Am I blushing? I learned this accidentally.
Oh, sure.
Accidentally.
Yeah, sure.
She is blushing.
I was like, made this tea, and I was like, it was a long time ago, and it's for something medicinal. I mean, I didn't realize the content. And I was like, I was looking at this rice boiling, and I realized I was staring at this rice boiling for like 20 minutes, and I was like, that is just boiling water is so cool. I have never.
The walls are moving.
And then I looked it up, and yes, indeed, you can. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's in sage.
So to be clear, it's actually from wormwood.
Wormwood. Yeah,
it appears in absinthe.
Absinthe.
Yes. Oh, it's absinthe.
Yeah. Banned in this country for many, many years. Yeah. Yes.
Banned in this country. Yes.
I now have some wormwood bitters.
Yeah.
That I ran across for cocktails.
Be careful with that.
Wow.
Stuff.
Yummy.
Sounds like a party over at your place.
You bring the blondies.
Or the boiling water.
Yeah.
I bet, bet you all know.
Water. Bring the boiling water. We'll watch.
If I had listed all these from the beginning, this probably would be at the top of the list from ones you would know off the top of your head. Do you know what ambergris is?
I do. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Oh.
It's the whale. No. Moby Dick.
It's whale goop.
Oh, oh,
perfume. Perfume waking.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's the beak from the squid.
And there's a whole episode of Bob's Burgers where they find ambergris on the beach. And like, and they find out it's like it's really expensive.
Worth a fortune.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And primarily used in?
Perfume.
Perfume. Yep. Oh, that's
right. Smells like vomit, apparently.
Yeah, it smells like puke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ta-da. Thumbs up. What is past life regression?
Like taking you back hypnosis? To your previous lives.
Basically, everybody put it all together. It's a form of hypnotherapy that purports to connect people to previous lives so they can better understand where they are. Yeah, that one makes sense. Hmm. I like it when the words mean the thing that it means.
If Beth was here, she could explain that one so much better.
If Beth was here, I have a feeling she might know the next one.
Uh-oh.
What are, I'll spell it first, A-I-L-U-R-O files. So ailurofiles.
Is it P-H-I-L-E-F?
P-H-I-L-E-S, but the first part is A-I-L-U-R-O, ailurophiles. So what do they love?
Music?
Yeah, what do they love?
Yeah, and I think that Beth could get it.
If it's not music, is it philosophy?
It's not philosophy.
The Beatles.
Symbolic logic.
Symbolic logic. Yes.
The list is getting smaller.
Math.
Not math.
Ringo Starr.
Numbers. Food related?
Is it like an Anglophile, but different? Yes.
It's not like an Anglophile. You definitely like something
office
a
supplies.
Lot that is something that Beth likes a lot.
The Beatles.
Office supplies.
The Beatles.
Not office supplies. Not the Beatles.
Remember Orange when we remember
tea.
When we used to do Zoom? Zooms?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh,
cats.
My God. It's cats.
Oh,
cats.
Oh, my God. Cats. I did not know that.
You
know,
probably actually, better known as a felinophile, yes.
She actually would... The cats were a compromise, I believe. I believe she wanted a dog.
Oh, and my. Drew was a...
So she's an auntie to our puppy.
Okay.
Well, she found our puppy for us online.
Well, that's pretty good. So. She's got her hand in both worlds.
She definitely does.
Yeah. Last one here. Thank you, Anonymous. These are actually pretty entertaining. What's a health halo? So we're going to have to sort of divine that one, right? A health halo.
Mm-hmm. A health halo.
Does it mean you have kind of a healthy ambiance about yourself? Or...
Is it a pretentious person that thinks they're better than everyone else because they
eat
healthy?
All of these sound great. Oh,
is it something that appears
what is it?
In a video above your head?
So let's go back to where I believe it's jumping off from. So have you ever heard of the halo effect before? That's a cognitive bias. Do you know what the halo effect is?
Are we being healthy by being influenced by people around us?
You're really, really close. Like, so the halo effect on its own is... Based on the one trait that I've pulled from Heather, she's wearing blue, therefore she must be a good person.
Okay.
So it's like single vision.
Okay.
So there's a halo around here. So what do you think a health halo is?
If they're healthy, they are...
If they're in shape.
Good somehow.
Right.
Better.
But it's not people. It's actually products. Because it says natural, well, everything in this box must be perfect.
Or a brand kind of thing.
Yeah, supposedly exactly. Organic.
Right. So that's the health halo.
Oh, mm-hmm. Way off.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Assuming a physically attractive person is also kind. I love that was the example.
Of course.
Because very often that is not the truth. I think that that's pretty entertaining.
I think the food example is something like something is called low fat.
Right.
Right.
And all so natural, you think based organic. On that one thing, therefore it's a good product. But if you look at the label, it's full of sugar. And all kinds of ultra-processed stuff, which are ultimately bad.
Right.
It can't just be me that's noticing the way that they're advertising fast food now. My favorite is Taco Bell. 20 grams of protein. Oh. I'm like,
protein. That's a good example of it, yeah.
You know? Oh, no, and what's the other thing with Taco Bell? They're also talking about the Decades menu.
Oh, my gosh.
What's a Decades menu? What is that?
They're reintroducing...
bring back old items?
Yeah, old items.
Like the Mexican pizza?
Yeah, that's been back for a while.
What about the 7-layer burrito? That was...
That's still there.
But not only do they have to bring it back, they have to make it the way they did in the past, which will never happen.
Using that'll old
never
stock, happen, too.
They used to have a Fiesta chicken something. They used to have Fiesta.
But there's
something.
Like a $7 Decades box that I saw recently.
Gordita.
Yes.
Oh, the Gordita.
I like Taco Bell.
Do they still have chalupas?
Yes, they do.
They're fried, aren't they?
I think so. But out of all the fast food places, they were voted one of the healthiest. So.
Wait, what?
Taco Bell. Yeah,
they were. Yeah. It's true.
Really?
Among all fast food restaurants, it's not really saying a lot.
Are you kidding me?
It's because of the sand in the taco. Yeah.
You can actually, and you can. There's a way to order like tacos and stuff where they won't put any cheese on
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
What's it called? Mm-hmm. It's called.
It's like,
boring.
It is boring,
but yeah, it's a menu they had. I was there.
I used to just ask for extra hot sauce just to.
So even Taco Bell has a secret menu. Oh
well, yeah, there is. It's a. Fresco.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was.
Yes.
It was.
Yeah,
I know. It was
marketed.
I used
to get that, and then I would put soy cheese on it instead.
Okay. It can be done.
Okay.
Oh my God. Well,
when I was really
were you listening to Sports Talk Radio earlier this week, Matt? They were talking about if you had was it the top 10 places. If you had a fast food place cater your wedding, which one would it be?
Oh my gosh.
Jersey Mike's came on top.
Well, okay, and really? I know that's fast food, but somehow slicing the highly, nitrated and salted meats in front of you and seeing the vegetables tossed through the thing of water, it just feels a little healthier than, McDonald's, even though it probably isn't.
I had friends that had Popeyes at their wedding. Oh, they were from New Orleans, and they're divorced now, so I don't know.
Now we know why. We know why.
I thought it was an interesting
Isn't that thing we were reading on the processed food? The processed meats that are the absolute worst.
The nitrates.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
there's an article in one of the recent New Yorkers about processed foods.
Oh, gosh.
There's some debate about how much that's affecting the obesity epidemic.
Yeah, I mean, it has to play a role. That and the not free healthcare, I think, are working hand in hand.
But one example in that was if you buy regular yogurt and then you buy low fat yogurt is so way more processed to make it low fat.
Yeah. Right. You're
probably better off eating the regular stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's like, do you remember the old butter versus margarine argument?
Of course. Of course.
Yep.
Well, professors, maybe we'll have to wait for a question set based on healthy foods. Who knows? Well, will they get even one of those right? But the time has come to say goodbye, Dave.
See ya.
Aaron.
Goodbye.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Steven.
Goodbye.
And Heather.
Stay healthy.
And now these words.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback. Our next set of questions comes from Keith Hedrick of Orange, California.
Yes.
How about that? And he says, I have enclosed 10 quotes. You need to figure out who said it. Yeah, right.
Keep hoping.
We'll take it, love.
You were working on your taxes, weren't you?
You need 6 out of 10 correct in order to win.
Okay. 6? This guy has low standards.
He's serious.
That's good.
That's why he writes to us.
He's a realist.
Who said? I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me.
Noel Coward.
No, it's British.
Oh.
But it's a statesman.
Churchill.
That's right.
Churchill was at a party one night, and this woman came up to him. You know that story?
Tell it.
And she was being obnoxious, and she said, Mr. Churchill, you're drunk. And he said, yes, madam, that's true, and you're ugly. But in the morning, I shall be sober, and you will still be ugly.
This wasn't Queen Elizabeth, was it?
He didn't know who it was.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.